Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. It is a new year, and he's back. We welcome to the program our friend Jared Stillman, who joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, happy new year. What's going on?
Oh, man, happy new year, guys. It's so great to be back on the program with you guys and enjoying 2025, which I hope for all of us around here and the teams that we root for is a little bit better than 2024 was. And I think you all know what I feel. There's some big decisions to be made as far as 2025 is concerned here in the next couple of days.
There are.
And unfortunately, look, I have no idea how it's going to go. I just don't feel like I'm going to be happy at the end of the day, but we'll see.
We will see what happens.
Joe will be happy, but you and I, Robbie, will be happy.
Yes, bring it back. This is all I want. I want them all back. I want it. Let's go. Go team.
That's right. So, Jared,
can we get the Joe Rex Road daily heat check on Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker? Are we still Amy should know, or have we moved to this is a disgrace, fire him?
So, in other words, can Joe have the same opinion that I have? Or otherwise, it's an invalid or wishy-washy opinion. I've said the same. I've not changed, Jared. If I were in charge, again, based on the information I have, which is nowhere near the information Amy Adams-Strong had, but if I were in charge, I would not fire them.
Okay.
There we go. There's the heat check for
today. Doesn't mean I want them back. That's not the same as I want them back. Please come back. Should be great. It's a bad situation.
I actually think that is the same.
We're talking about the
wanting them back. It's kind of binary. Either you want them back or you don't want them back. And you want them back.
No, I don't want them back, Jared. I'm framing this as again, the hypothetical of what would you do? Because, again, do I want them back? I mean, I want this football team to, like, be swallowed up by the earth, okay? But it's not going to happen. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Okay, let's say Stillman and Company Capital buys the Titans, you know, $5 billion venture capital, ooh, whatever. We buy the Titans, and I put Joe Rex Road in charge of, you're the team czar. You're now in charge of everybody. You just showed up today, and you're in charge. Are you keeping them on, or are you firing them?
Well, no, because since you're the owner, I must really.
No. This is like the Atlanta Braves. The corporate company, Stillman and Company Capital, owns it. Not me, but the Stillman and Company Capital owns it. And you are the man who's in charge the way Terry McGuirk is the president of the Atlanta Braves, even though they're owned corporately by Liberty Media.
Yeah, I'm going to hire Rick Spielman as GM. I'll hire whoever else retread you think is awesome as assistant GM, and we'll hire Mularkey as head coach. How about that? You happy? Super Bowl's incoming per Jared.
No. I actually want you to be serious here. So would you keep them or would you fire them?
Well, okay. So if I came in new and it's – then I would be much more inclined to fire them because I didn't hire them, right? Like but that's the problem with the hypothetical is that if I came in, I want my people. You know what I mean? So I would probably move on. I mean, I would certainly look into it, but if you're going to be in a situation like that, you're going to want your own people, aren't you?
Well, if you were to take over the Denver Broncos,
I'll fire them, Jared.
You wouldn't.
I'll fire them for
Payton.
You. I will fire them for you, and I'll make sure it's only on like FaceTime with Burke Nihil too, just to be as disrespectful as possible.
Here's my problem. Well, FaceTime would be a step up from how Hutton said on, I think it was Hutton said on the radio, how
it was just a speakerphone.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm on my rotary phone now. Put me on speaker.
But, and I mean this like in all seriousness, as far as the should they stay, should they go? Like, this is serious stuff, Joe. Like, you're kind of copping out with everything, being like, if I was Amy,
Jared,
I should know more than I,
Jared.
And I should, and if I, and
okay.
You go back to, and so now you're copping out with the, well, if I came in, I'd want my own people. But again, like, if you took over the Denver Broncos today, you're not going to fire Sean Payton because Sean Payton's doing a great job. If you took over the Chiefs, you're not going to fire Andy Reid. So you're using this cop out as
That's true. Generic,
well, you're always going to want your own people no matter what, which is not always true.
I agree. If they were doing a great job, I'm not copping out. I've told you what I would do. But you're right that if they were doing a great job and you came in, then it would give you pause. There would be no pause. I'll tell you that. But based on there's nothing I'm seeing where it's like, oh man. I mean, again, they've drafted okay. I mean, that is a big part of the job. I mean, it's again, you know, look, you want them gone, you want them gone forever.
Okay.
That's
drafted
fine.
Three starters in two drafts.
Yeah, I mean, Jared, look, again, their drafting is so far beyond John Robinson's last four drafts. Would you agree with that or no?
No. Okay. They've drafted three starters in two drafts, and they had picks that Robinson never had because Robinson did not have the seventh pick and the 11th pick and, you know, the picks that they've used. You know, Isaiah Wilson was the 28th pick. There's a massive difference between the seventh pick and the 28th pick. And so Robinson drafted. I mean, I hear all this talk. Titan fans are like, all these drafts were awful. And there's a lot of truth to that. But it's not like John Robinson didn't draft any starters in his last drafts. Chig Okonkwo starts. Dylan Raidens starts. Elijah Molden, before he got hurt, started for the Chargers.
The second person you listed in defending John Robinson's late drafting is Dylan Raidens. I think we can end the conversation now.
Malik Willis has more wins as a quarterback this year.
There you go.
Than Will Levis.
Dylan Raidens and Malik Willis are the examples you're pointing to. I mean,
he played great this year.
My point is that everyone's sitting here talking about how bad those drafts were, and they're equaling as many starters as the great drafts that Rand Carthon's put together.
Okay, but again, now you're being hyperbolic. I didn't say great. I didn't say great, but again, you know, Treylon Burks at 18, Caleb Farley at 22, Isaiah Wilson at 29. Yeah, I understand. Those are later picks. Those are absolute disaster picks that ruin your franchise. I mean, come on, along with
but they
with
don't
AJ
ruin
Brown
your
trade.
Franchise forever. Jeez, and that's the problem that I have with kind of this narrative about Robinson ruining everything. Because it's like, well, how are the Titans supposed to be any good with those three bad picks? And
sure.
Yet Washington made
these guys,
four
I'm not
bad
these
picks
guys have
in
done
a row.
A good job. No one's
I know,
arguing
but
these guys
fans do
have done
say
a good
this.
Job.
Don't tell me that no one's arguing this, because I don't know if you've seen the Twitter. Robbie, I'm arguing every day with people that think that they're doing a good job.
Yes, I find it very funny.
So don't say nobody thinks that. I don't understand how they could think it, but people do think it. But again, every excuse I hear for Rand Carthon and the Titans and Chad Brinker is an excuse that I can debunk with another team in the league. When it's like, well, I mean, John Robinson blew all those drafts so poorly that there's no way this team could be any good. And yet the Commanders swung and missed in the first round of 2020, 2021, 2022, and they've already cut Emmanuel Forbes, who they took in the first round of 23. And they're good. Why can't I be Washington? Washington's good. And I go back to Sean Payton, who I brought up. I mean, people will say John Robinson left things so poorly for them. Could it have been worse than when Sean Payton showed up in Denver, where Nathaniel Hackett, this Russell Wilson was terrible? They had traded all the draft picks. They had all the money given to Russell. And here they are 2 years later on the doorsteps of the playoffs, and you're the worst team in the league? So Sean Payton's allowed to get them out of the hole that he inherited, but Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker don't have to get themselves out of the hole that they inherited?
Well, I mean, it's – look, I hear you on all that stuff. It's been bad. Like, I don't know how anybody could say it's not been bad. I'm with you. I don't know that I really expect anything to happen on Monday, but I've said it, and I'll say it again. Like, I am fully in the camp of clean house. And I just – it's been an absolute train wreck around here all season long. And I feel like you're a good person to ask this question. We were going through this earlier in the show. Is this the low point in Titans history? Since this team moved to Nashville, are we living the low point of this franchise right now?
Yeah, I think we probably are. You know, 2014 was so bad. I mean, it was so bad. And that team was probably worse, you know, in terms of talent. But, I mean, again, it's right up there with 2014. You know, 2015, I think, was more of a bright spot because Amy Adams Strunk showed that she wasn't going to put up with the bull crap when she fired Wisenhunt in the middle of the year. Remember, I remember the late Mark Howard saying, the Titans are not going to fire a coach with 4 years left on their contract. And I was almost resigned to, oh, God, it's going to be awful. And then she fired him. And they had Mariota, who, again, didn't end up being a franchise quarterback, but at the time had given us all the impression that he could be a franchise quarterback. And you know, I guess maybe it's easier because I know how they got themselves out of that hole. Whereas with this, I don't know how they get out of it. The reason I'll say this is worse than then, even though I would think there's probably more overall talent on this Titans team than on those Titans teams. The reason I'll say it's better is because what that team did after 2014 was they went out and they brought Steve Underwood back in here to run the operation. And Steve Underwood, again, I don't think he's the greatest executive in the history of the NFL. And I don't even know if I'd say Steve Underwood was a good executive in the NFL.
Greatest
but
mustache.
Steve Underwood had a clue when it came to kind of keeping Amy out of Amy's way at times. You know, I think Steve Underwood was the one that could stand up and tell the ownership, like, hey, guys, I don't do this. And I don't think she has that now. I think she's got a bunch of yes men around her, because if you become a no man, then they're afraid that she's going to turn on you and fire you. And so I know Amy can be a good owner because between the years of 2015 and 2022, she was a good owner. But I don't know at this point in time if she can go back to what she was in 2015 to 2022, or if the toothpaste is out of the tube and she's going to be the female version of Al Davis. And that scares me.
So it's an interesting point on, you know, she can be a good owner. I agree that she did good things during that time. I guess what I don't know is, you know, I really don't know. Like, okay, take the locker. That was good. She was responsive to fans. You know, show up and take pictures with fans, stuff like that, right? She was a good front-facing owner, and they were good. They had good people. John Robinson did a great job in the first few years as GM. Malarkey and Vrabel both were good coaches. So I guess my question, though, would be how much credit does she get for that? Because she correctly, I think, sees, like, that Robinson and Vrabel are doing really well, and she wants to lock them up. But then, like, her first significant moves were then what has happened in the last 2 years, right?
I mean, again, I would tell you that by not having a bunch of big moves over that 7-year period, that's being a good owner. You know,
Who would have made moves? That's what I'm saying, though. It's like when things are going well, because
she did fire a coach that won the first playoff game in more than a decade.
Now that was right. So that situation, was totally screwed up. I almost think, and Joe, you were probably more like boots on the ground covering this than I was. It had gotten so bad between Robinson and Malarkey. I'm not sure there was anything that her Underwood could have done. I think they would have wanted.
Not put out a statement that he was coming back would have been the thing that they could have done.
There's that.
That was inherently dishonest. But, again, I mean, that was screwed up. I'm not sure I lay that at the feet of the owner as much as I probably was disappointed in John Robinson for having what I call MGS, my guy syndrome. You know, my guy, my team, my quarterback, my coach, I kind of am a little disappointed at Robinson for that's how that transpired. I don't put that at Amy's feet. Ever since firing Robinson, I laid that at Amy's feet because that was an Amy call. And ever since then, this thing has been a total train wreck, which I was afraid of the day it happened.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I want to throw in this quick thing from Justin Strickland on the text line driven by WilsonCounty.com. It says, Jared comparing the woes of the Titans Commanders completely avoids the biggest issue fans have with J-Rob. Yes, the draft picks the first round hurt like hell, but don't forget he traded away potentially the best player on the roster. Washington got their QB and an outstanding wide receiver on the roster. I mean, it is QB, right? I mean, QB has totally changed. And the Commanders had some talent. I mean, over the years, they built up some talent, just like the Texans, right? Both of those teams have been bad, built up some talent, but then you give them the quarterback.
They haven't built up any talent.
All of a sudden, yes, they did, Jared. You're just looking at their first round picks. They've had talent on defense. They've had talent at receiver. You're not. That's incorrect. But they got the quarterback.
In terms of building up talent, they have one impact player, I think, from the last couple of drafts, Sam Cosmi, who's a guard. So before they get to this draft, I want to say Adam Peters went out and signed 20 free agents. I heard Belichick talking about this on the McAfee show yesterday, or whenever he was on the McAfee show. And Belichick was talking about Adam Peters showed up in Washington and said, we're going to turn over the whole team. and that there were, I think, again, 20-something free agents they went out and signed, including leadership guys like Bobby Wagner and Tyler Biadasz, the center, and Nick Allegretti, the guard from the Chiefs. And so they've signed a bunch of guys this offseason to go around the young quarterback. And I'm not saying the young quarterback's not great, because I do think that there's something about this young quarterback that's been good. But I don't think if you put Jaden Daniels in Tennessee right now that Jaden Daniels is having the performances he's having, because I think he's getting mutilated. I think that that is, again, Adam Peters, the general manager in Washington, knows what he's doing, kind of the way John Robinson knew what he was doing when he showed up, and they went from a 3-win team to a 9-win team, not a we checked every box this offseason to the worst team in the league.
Jared Stillman with us on the program, joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, good to have you back again this year.
And I appreciate that. I do not find the Washington comparison to be dishonest. And I do not find the Denver Broncos comparison to be dishonest.
I'm actually with you on
Washington. And I do not find – I hear all these people that keep making excuses. There's so many arguments against bringing this group back. Carthon and Brinker and Callahan, I don't really care about. Like, I'll settle now. If she's hell-bent on bringing him back, I'll settle to bring him back and get new people in the front office. I think that's stupid, but I'll settle for it to get rid of Carthon and Brinker, even though, again, I'd hire a GM and let him pick his coach so I don't end up with another malarkey Robinson thing. But I don't. The only positive, if you're arguing for them, is, well, it's not all their fault. There's a lot that's their fault. I don't know if you guys have read the latest on Legarius Sneed, but that seems fishy. And so it's a lot their fault, but it's not all their fault. Whereas the other side of the coin is they're worse than they were last year by half the amount of wins. They're the worst team in the league. They have no Pro Bowlers. They've drafted 3 starters in 2 years with the 7th pick, the 11th pick. They busted at quarterback. I mean, there's just so many things that are bad about what they did. All the talk they had, and yet the only good thing is, well, it's not completely, totally all of their fault, even though there are other teams in the league that are examples of, hey, get competent people in here, the Chargers, and you'll get good.
We'll react to that, Kono, next. Thank you, Jared.
Good luck to you, Jared.
Well, I'll take your thoughts on what Jared had to say. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Jared Stillman on the program for the first time in 2025. Getting the new year started off with a bang here. Joe Rex Road, what do you make of his Washington Commander Tennessee Titan turnaround comparison there that he's thrown out there?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard him say it before. I mean, look, I get the idea in general of, well, this team was bad, and then they were good. But one thing you got to remember is the Washington Commanders were bad for how many years in a row?
Well, they were bad for, I mean, good Lord, they've been bad for like 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, the Houston Texans, they had a stretch of just absolute buns, right? And then, but during that time, I mean, I understand the first-round picks of the Commanders didn't go well. The Commanders had some defensive talent. All I'm saying, they had some defensive talent in place. They had some receivers in place that were good, right? I mean, can we all agree on that? I mean, they've had good receivers. Now, he's right. You know,
they were not. He's absolutely right, though. They were not an overly talented team when these guys took over. They had Terry McLaurin, and that's about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I mean,
they had Montez Sweat, who they then traded.
Yeah, I mean, I can go back through, like, the entire history of their roster. There's no question that Peters came in and did. I mean, like, I'm not sitting here arguing. I'm not arguing these guys have done a good job here. Two, I'm not arguing that Peters didn't go in and do a good job. Right. I guess it's – but, you know, it's like, okay, well, that does happen sometimes. But the big thing is that they got the quarterback, and they got the coach.
Sure.
And I agree with Jared that, like, if Jaden Daniels was here, he'd be running for his life. Think about Jaden Daniels, and he actually can run for his life and like, escape
Succeed.
And then make plays. Yeah. I mean, that's – I think he's potentially a special player. And, you know, the Texans, they had – it's a little different, but they had built up some decent players. They were a bad team. You bring in D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, and boom, you know, they're the surprise of the league last year. Yeah, and of course, you're going to compare it to John Robinson coming in right away in 2016 and making a bunch of great moves, trades, free agent signings, draft picks, and turning a 5-27 into a 9-7 team that, you know, should have gone to the playoffs. So I get it. I'm not arguing that they're not doing a good job. It's just, I don't know what, I mean, I know Jared wants everybody to, you know, join the chorus. You've joined the chorus. You're on Team Clean House. Plenty of people are. That's fine. I mean, I could lie and join you guys. No, I mean, it's not going to. I'm sorry, Jared.
I don't. You could have whatever opinion you want to have. Like, it doesn't bother me. I mean, somebody's going to have to explain to me beyond just, and I've said this for a month now, and it's not going to change. Somebody's going to have to explain to me good reasons for keeping these guys around other than, well, you just don't want to fire people. Like, and nobody can explain it. That's where I'm at with this conversation. I mean,
my case for them, and again, Jared, when Jared decides that he's on, and you're on his side too, but you don't do what he does, which is he decides he's on his side, he has a take, and so now he's going to spin everything and come up with three stars. I mean, look, if Latham turns out as a good player, as a really good player, which I think is possible, that's a good job that they did. I don't care what you say about, oh, where they picked at 7. Great. Go look at the top 10 of the draft every year and find the bust. You'll find them. So is Sweat – I don't know what Sweat's going to be. I think he could be really good. I think he was pretty good this year. Brownlee, we've talked about, you know, again, Cedric Gray's important. Skoronski's important. But the last two drafts – have objectively been better than the three drafts that preceded them by John Robinson. So that would be, if I'm trying to spin it and make the argument for these guys, that's where I start.
Yeah, I mean, I there's no doubt that they've been better than what the last couple were there for Robinson. But again, like, you bring up Sweat and Latham and all these, we don't know yet. Like,
true, but like, we don't know that it's bad yet either. Like, some people, like Jared, are acting like they've done nothing good. That I don't. Yeah, I mean, I think we don't. You're right. We don't know yet. I mean, next year is gigantic on many fronts, including Snead, of course.
I mean, some of the drafting that they have done, again, Skoronski has improved. So it's fair. Like, we need to point that out. Skoronski has gotten much better as the season has gone on this year, and so maybe he ends up being a serviceable guard for you for a long time. And is that what you want out of the 11th overall pick? No, you want an all-pro guard if you're taking somebody there.
Right.
But
agree.
At this point, I would live with being a Skoronski being a good player for them moving forward, not being great. Like, compared to what we were talking about at the beginning of this season, I would take that. They have busted on a quarterback. Like, yes. I mean, they have busted on a quarterback. And you can talk about how it's not a top five pick of a quarterback all you want to. They identified that quarterback to be their franchise quarterback moving forward, and they missed. Vrabel was a part of that. Rand Carthon was a part of that. So you're already 0-1.
Part of that.
Yeah, like you're 0-1 on the quarterback part of this right now too. So, and the rest of the guys, like this year's draft, we just don't know yet. Like Latham, I think, can be good. Latham has also struggled a lot this year. Like, I don't know what Latham is going to be. Sweat, I like. I think Sweat's going to be a good player. Is Sweat going to be enough of a pass rusher where he's worth taking him where you did? I don't know. Like, there's still a lot left to find out about these drafts moving forward here. And in the meantime, you're still trying to evaluate everything else that they've done.
Right. No, I agree. No question. Again, I'm not – there's nothing that says, ding, 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 awesome job. And the public messaging would probably be on the foot to me. But the drafting is the most potential for – it looks like they have done some pretty good evaluations in there. But you got to win. I mean, you have to win, and you've got to stop saying stuff like, man, I got all these texts. Like, they're so mad about the amazing pick I made, and all the coaches we got are so awesome, the best coaches, and we checked every box, and then go out and have the worst record in the league. I couldn't agree more that is ridiculous.
That does not help. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have more on this coming up next, more of your reaction to get to as well. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 745. TD will be with us at 8. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Titans, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's in downtown Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Week 18 matchup against the Texans, give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. TD will be with us coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him as well. Joe, lots of reaction to this discussion right now as it relates to the Titans, the comparison to the Commanders, where they're at in their rebuilding process here as they move ahead. And, you know, we say all this. I still expect that next week's going to come and go, and the powers that be are going to remain in charge there with the Tennessee Titans. We'll wait and see what happens on that front. But this whole thing, everything we talked about today, Joe, kind of goes back to the same general point, and that is, where is the hope with this franchise right now? Like, where are you digging yourself out of this, regardless of who's in charge? Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, you know, we had Charles on again yesterday, and he basically just laid it out that nobody's really that high on this quarterback class. He said that there aren't many teams that even have a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward based on some of the teams that he's talked to. Like, it's just – it's a situation right now. I said this many times in sports. I've said it about hockey, said about the NFL. Sometimes it's not only – it not only matters, Joe, when it relates to the draft, that you're bad. It's when you're bad, and it doesn't seem like a great time for the Titans to be bad right now based on the overall level of talent in this draft.
No, but is Travis Hunter a generational player in the NFL? Is Abdul Carter a superstar edge rusher?
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, like, that's – if you get that second pick, then – and you could get a bunch of picks out of that because someone wants to move up. That's possible. But if you were to take one of those guys and get your veteran quarterback, that could be a huge building block. And that, and honestly, right now, that would be what I would advise. Just knowing the questions about these quarterbacks, that's what I would. I mean, again, yeah, like you said, you know, Charles, you know, these quarterbacks don't have first round grades on them. Okay. And they're going to go 1-2 or 1-3 or whatever it is. It's just how the NFL is. Don't be one of those teams. You know, I mean, you and I and Vingan have been going. Vingan's DVD's chiming in on the show, on the program today. Vingan making the point. Obviously, he's arguing with Jared about the Commanders comparison. And like he said, you know, Daniels is the Daniels is the difference maker. As you point out, you know, Levis was picked by these guys. As Charles Robinson reported, you know, the ownership driven was the term. And, you know, what exactly that means, I don't know. TD has refuted it. So, I mean, it's hazy. But if you're Amy, you know exactly how it went down, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're Amy assessing these guys in terms of why they should be fired or not, and you had a big voice in that, then that's a little different, right? Like, we want to assign it to them, but should it be assigned to them? I don't, you know, of course, Levis is now the guy that everybody is going to say, no, it was the other guy who wanted it. It wasn't me, right? You know, but that is important to keep in mind when it comes to Levis. I mean, the Levis thing to me was like, oh, wow, that guy's still available. Well, shoot, we got to try, right? I mean, if they loved him, they would have taken him when they took Skoronski.
Yeah, and we talked about that at the time, like in terms of, well, if you really loved him, why didn't you take him where you had Skoronski? You know, like, I get it. At some point, it becomes like too much of a value pick in your mind where you can't pass it up. But again, you're still talking. I mean, you're talking about the top of the second round. That is a significant draft pick, a very significant draft pick. So, like, it counts. It's an attempt to go get a franchise quarterback that you misidentified, and now you've got a chance to go get another one here if that's the way you choose to do it. But again, like, I'm looking at the quarterback part of this right now. I'm with you. Like, I think Abdul Carter has a chance to be a really good pass rusher at the NFL level. You know, is Travis Hunter going to be a generational player? Honestly, like, Travis Hunter, I mean, you'll take him wherever he wants to play, but, like, it would be great if he could be like a generational receiver, because that's really what this team needs right now. I don't know what he's going to do at the NFL level. He seems to think that he can play both sides of the football at the NFL level. I don't know. Maybe he can. It seems to me to be a pretty difficult thing to ask from somebody at the NFL level.
Yeah.
That would be great if you could do that. Like, I would rather take my chances on one of those guys being an elite player and then figuring out the quarterback later. The problem is with this coaching staff and this general manager, figuring out quarterbacks is going to be a big part of how you get out of this, right? It's going to be a big part of how you save your job. So how do you do that? How do you thread that needle?
Well, you better be able to fix things enough so that if you have a solid game manager veteran, that you can be a decent team that can be in the playoff race in December. And that's the thing. Like, in the NFL, like, again, Jared used the Commanders comparison. We've talked about the Texans, talk about the Titans 8 years ago, right?
Yeah.
You can go from bad to middling in this league in the snap of a finger, and that is right now for them. There's no excuse. So you find, I mean, Gunner on the text line, driven by WilsonCounty.com, says, draft Carter, whoever, roll Levis out there and wait for Manning. Well, first of all, again, they're not, no one's saying, you know what, let's have another terrible year. We'll keep our jobs. I mean, no one is doing that.
Right.
So that's not happening. And again, I just, the whole Manning thing, guys, is like,
let's let him start his games first.
I mean, let's see. Let's see if he's an NFL. I don't know that he's an NFL quarterback. People think he's like the pick one. Like, let's see. I mean, he couldn't start over Quinn Ewers, who's pretty good and probably not an NFL starting quarterback. So we'll see. But yeah, you're not like next year. You cannot quote unquote roll Levis out there. No, you have to get a better quarterback.
Well, here's another thing. What I've been thinking, because again, I'm operating under the assumption that everybody's back next year, or at least the main decision makers are back. How do you evaluate what success looks like next year? Because I've heard some people say, well, show improvement. Well, it ain't that hard to show improvement from 3-14. Like, what is an acceptable level of improvement? 5-12? Like, if they go 5-12 next year, it's like, well, they're two games better than they just were. Bring them back. Like, what's the baseline of what they've got to be next year?
To me, again, in December, like, you better be in December with like 7 wins fighting for a playoff spot and end up with 8 or 9. That happens in this league all the time. And, you know, they've bottomed out this year. If you're incrementally improving from this, then to me, that's enough of a period of time to demonstrate that you don't know how to build a football team.
Yeah, like I just don't get the, well, just show improvement next year. I was like, well, you're going to have to show significant improvement. Like, you got to get yourself back to a spot where you're competitive. And by the way, a division, as we've talked about all year long, that right now is just not very good. Like, the Texans are okay, they're an okay football team, and they're going to win this division by default because everybody else in this division is just an absolute unmitigated tire fire right now. You've got an opportunity here if you're the Titans, regardless of who's with you right now, to really make some hay here quickly because of the state of the rest of your division, Joe. And I realize, look, I still think C.J. Stroud's a good player. The Texans are going to be the favorite again heading into next year. I get all that. But with everybody else in your division right now, you ought to be able, if you show some competent decision-making, to get yourself out of this relatively quickly.
No doubt. You're gonna have a sweet, get that sweet last place schedule. But now, who's the NFC division next year? Do you remember off the top of your head?
I don't. I can look that up very quickly.
That's, you know, I mean, it's not the North.
It is not the North, which is going to be good news for them next
which
year.
Which is good.
Not have the
which
North.
Is good for everybody.
Although it could potentially rob us of a nice Chicago Bears-Tennessee Titans-Rabel matchup. It looks to be the Super NFC Bowl. West. Looks like it's the NFC West. Okay. So San Francisco, Arizona, all those guys.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the Niners are going to be one of those teams that next year that they're going to go like 14-3, right? They're going to get all those guys healthy. But still
Rodgers
better than the North.
Quarterback. Yeah, it'll be good.
Cousins.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
As a psychiatrist, it is my professional opinion that Paul is extremely jealous of Joe. Excellent takes. His envy is blatantly obvious. Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'd rather listen to REO Speedwagon fart into an accordion than go to a Creed show. But that's just me.
Joe, you good, man. You good. Do like they do in Hollywood. Joe, go find you somebody from Sweden or something and pay him and give him some Botox. You'll be good, Joe.
Joe Rexrode, a professional wordsmith for a living. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. Joseph, the floor is yours.
It was good to hear Mark from Nashville's voice there.
It was.
Mark from Nashville, call back. I need my life coaching back. We're going to get back into the Titans. There's a lot here, and a question I'm going to address on the text line. But have I talked about bakeries yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, real quick. If you at your business, if you have the word bakery as part of the name of your business, and you don't bake bread and things like that, then the Better Business Bureau needs to shut your ass down. if you say that you're a quote bakery and you have like three cookies in the place, other than that, you sell like coffee and stuff, you're not a freaking bakery. I was trying to find some Kimmelweck buns. Have you ever had a Kimmelweck?
No.
Bun, Robbie?
Okay,
not. Well, it's a big, you know, it's Buffalo, Western New York, Western PA. Katie's family's from like that area, Western PA, and it's, you know, it's what we do is we have the standing rib roast, you know, roast beef for Christmas, but then you make it with the buns, with the horseradish, with the au jus dip. Amazing stuff. People, I'm sure somebody's listening knows what I'm talking about. Amazing sandwiches. Kimmelweck. So Buffalo Wild Wings used to be BW3 is what it started with. Buffalo Wild Wings and Weck, okay? Those buns are ridiculous. So anyway.
A lot of buns.
Going around. Those buns were not buns, okay? And going around town trying to find them. Couldn't find them. We basically made do with everything bagels, which is not the same. But I go to this bakery, and it's like, dude, you have like a cookie? You sell a cookie? You're a bakery? Are you kidding me? That needs to stop. That's a societal issue, and it needs to stop right now. Now, on the Titans, I mean, there's just a ton of reaction. You still out of the text line?
Oh, yeah. Working on it.
You're just
perma-banned from the text line.
You're just banned from the text line.
I'll never speak with any of you ever again.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a question I want to get to. I do want to address this from LD from McMinnville. He says, I want Carr, you know, Derek Carr as a bridge and to draft Sanders. Jared says he thinks the Saints are going to bring Carr back. But, yeah, I've mentioned this possibility. The more I think about it, though, like, I just – like, you can't – you know, someone else in here was like, well, take a flyer. No, take a flyer on, like, Milroe or take a flyer on this guy. You got to stop taking flyers.
I agree.
Okay. You're taking flyers. So you took a flyer. I'm like, Willis, well, gee, there's a third round pick that could have been a good football player. You took a flyer, I guess, on Will Levis. Well, gee, second round. You got to either pick a quarterback that you are all in on. And if that's one of these guys at the top of the draft, okay. But to me, you have so many needs. You are such a bad football team. You have to get good football players. And I do believe that there's a quarterback who there are veteran quarterbacks who can come in here if you create a good offensive line. Yeah, you want to talk about reason for optimism, Robbie? I still would say, of all the elements they have, I still would say, I mean, look, because it's only been a year, I would go with the coaching set with Brian Callahan and Bill Callahan as the O-line coach. That's where I would start, right? And with a couple of the players they have. So, you know, they're going to be back, and that's where it has to get way better. And if you have a serviceable quarterback and you actually fix the offensive line and other things, then yes, you can immediately be a middling team, I believe.
You can take a flyer on a quarterback if you've got an, you know, just an excess of draft picks. number one, you've got 1,000 holes on your team that you got to fill here. And number two, you don't have a third-round pick. Like, so you're already down a third-round pick. You can't, like, the idea of going and grabbing a Milroe in, like, the fourth round, like, you can't do that this year. Like, you need to, first off, I'm with you. You got to get out of doing that anyway at the quarterback position. But there's just so much else you've got to do with this team right now. It would be a great year to have, like, 4 third-round picks, right? And you don't have any. So, like, it's you can't take a flyer on really anybody this year. Like, you got to identify the players that you love and go get them each round. Like, you get, this is a – if there was ever a year where they needed to hit on a draft, this one is right near the top.
Absolutely. And so – and you may have a chance to get more picks. That may be the move if someone's desperate to get in where you are. So a question I got was, can you compare, we always talk draft, can you compare the free agency of the first couple of years of Robinson to Rand Carthon?
Yep.
So that's another thing is, again, I don't want to be known as like, you know, sticking up for the front office that has done a bad job guy. But, you know, so let's talk about Rand Carthon signings. DeAndre Hopkins was a good signing, right?
Agreed.
Was it a good signing?
Yep.
I would call that a good signing. I would call Calvin Ridley, a good signing. Snead was a trade, and that's a huge part of the whole thing. And by the way, as Stillman mentioned, he talked yesterday to reporters and talked about having a surgery for the quad, but it's really weird, and I don't totally understand.
Yeah, it makes you feel great.
Moving forward. But he had a surgery.
Yeah,
on the quad that was a strain. So take that
by the helmet.
That for whatever. Yeah. So you had a woozy again. I think I liked it. I liked the signings. I mean, I got to raise my hand and say I celebrate a lot of these signings, just like when Barry Trotz did all this. I was like, yeah, it's awesome. And the Lightning are stupid. like got a lot of good taste going on over here. So John Robinson, his first year, big one was Ben Jones.
Yeah.
Rishard Matthews, really everybody else was like, I mean, it's like Bryce McCain and Valentino Blake and whatever. Second year, Eric Decker, helped some. I mean, he was okay that year. Logan Ryan was the big one. Everybody else was kind of like, Sylvester Williams was like, he played.
Well, and bringing DeMontre, up trades, right? Like we talk about the Snead trade. You know, Robinson had a big trade too, bringing in DeMarco Murray, which was a big, big get for them.
Huge get. You're talking about the best back in the league until he got hurt late in 2016. So, yes, that was a great trade in camp to get rid of DGB and bring in a swing tackle so they actually had depth on the offensive line. So, but as far as free agents, there wasn't much there. But what Robinson did, of course, early was his first draft was fantastic. And then, of course, the 19 draft. Those two drafts were epic drafts, two of the best drafts in Titans history.
Yep, no doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Titans with him as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.